Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this season, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Heroes Unlimited Revised 2nd Edition, the second printing from December 1998. Today we're discussing page 269 of Heroes Unlimited. Today we're discussing Control Radiation, a superpower in the Major Super Abilities section that allows you, primarily, to kill the people around you slowly. Now you may be asking yourself, why would I want to slowly kill the people around me? The people around me fit into two broad categories, people I don't want to kill, and people I want to kill quickly. So this power seems like it falls into that sort of inconvenient trough of interpersonal interactions where I'm consigning people to a fate that I quite literally do not wish on my worst enemy, because I want my worst enemy to die as quickly as possible. Here's the thing. It's not the intent of this power that you will cause the people around you to die slowly. That's a side effect, but it is a prominent side effect. Let's talk a little bit about this power, control radiation. Quote-unquote, control radiation. control may be a bit of a strong word for it. It actually started on the last page, and it's got a number of different sub-powers. They have one unifying theme, motif, you might say, and I leave it to you to guess what that might be. Sub-power number one, quote, generate extreme levels of deadly radiation. Now, this is simply the ability to create so much radiation within a 50-foot radius that anybody who's in that area is very likely to get radiation sickness. Quote, the victims of nuclear radiation poisoning have the following symptoms: physical nausea, headache, loss of appetite, and vomiting. Left untreated, the victim will take 3d6 points of damage daily, does not recover until treatment is received, and suffer from hair loss, ulceration of the skin, bone marrow depression, bloody diarrhea, lung fibrosis, premature thickening and hardening of the artery walls, and the possible development of a malignancy and eventual death. Thanks, WebMD. In the context of my superhero role-playing game, I really needed to know specifically that lung fibrosis was going to be a problem. That's really going to help me put together my action scenes for next week, so that's a service to the GM. So here we are, sub-power number one, the paradigm of radiation mastery, the ability to just stand there and grit your teeth and close your eyes and clench your fists and pucker everything that puckers and cause the people within 50 feet of you to die slowly of radiation. Subpower number two is the inverse of this, the ability to use yourself as a radioactive dampener, and this allows you to suck up radiation so that the other people around you don't get poisoned by radiation. However, this does take up all your actions and all your concentration, so you can do nothing else. Just within a 100-foot radius plus 10 feet per level, people are not going to be affected by ambient radiation. You got no other actions, can't even move. Okay, can't move, can't do anything, nobody gets radiation poisoned, it's almost as though you were dead. Or not present. And indeed, on the list of top three things you can do for your teammates' welfare, I would say using yourself as a radioactive dampener comes in at number three with a bullet behind being dead and going away. So number three is not bad. Pretty good option. The next subpower, detect radioactive elements. This allows you to seek out uranium, plutonium, radium, thorium, polonium, any other radioactive elements, isotopes, or sources. Somebody really hit the books to write this power because it is just champing at the bit to come at you with science stuff every time the opportunity arises. Radioactive elements? Like what, you say? How about uranium, plutonium, radium, thorium, and polonium? How about that? This is pretty handy, I guess, if you need to find a source of radioactivity. Oh, wait. Moving on. You can glow. Subpower number four. You can glow. You can glow really bright. You can glow so bright that it's hard to hit you in combat. And you can also light up a large area. Pretty handy, right? Don't have to carry around any flares or searchlights or anything. Unfortunately, glowing does take two of your actions for the round, and those two actions allow you to glow for 7 seconds, which it says here is half of a melee round, which is of course not true. A melee round is 15 seconds, so this is not quite half. So if you wanted to glow continuously without any little, you know, blinks and interruptions, you would need to spend over 4 actions per round just glowing. Oh, and by the way, anyone within 100 feet of you while you're helpfully glowing, so you can, you know, read in the dark or potentially dazzle a gunman, etc., there's a 30% chance that those people will contract radiation sickness, causing them to slowly die. But at least they can read while they're doing it. The next subpower, X-ray vision. See through walls, see through vehicles, see through clothes, be a creep, make the whole table uncomfortable. Just kidding, don't do that. Interestingly, this is one of your only powers that does not give people cancer. Next subpower, quote, discharge nuclear fire from hands. This one is exactly what it says on the radioactive tin. You do 3d6 plus 1d6 per level of experience damage. It's just like shooting a firebolt, except that it is nuclear, with predictable consequences. Subpower number 7, generate heat and heat bolts. Just like with alter physical structure fire, you can generate extreme heat around you. And in this case, you can even focus it and direct it into heat bolts to melt individual things. I do feel the need to point out, though, that anyone exposed to either the heat bolts or the intense heat has a 30% chance of contracting radiation poisoning, causing the people around you to slowly die. But look on the bright side, they might die quickly because of the heat. You can get way hotter than alter physical structure fire can. This is nuclear fire, the best kind of fire. Well, bale fire. It's the second best kind of fire. I rank it above the cleansing fire of heaven. Change my mind. This heat is extremely hot. It goes all the way up to 2,000 degrees in a number of sort of heat bands, a number of temperature bands that are described in terms of their effects on substances, because this is easily hot enough to destroy people. We're not even going to talk about that, really. We're interested in what you can melt, and goddamn are we interested in what you can melt. Again, somebody hit the encyclopedia, somebody had their chemistry textbooks out or something, because just listen to this detail. 401 to 700 degrees Fahrenheit, quote, can melt lead, aluminum, magnesium, and zinc, but heat must be sustained for one full melee. Concrete and brick can be made extremely brittle, but won't melt at this level. So 700 degrees, good enough to melt lead. So if you're in a lead vault, great. However, if you've been bricked in, you may need to use this temperature and then do some kicking to bring those walls down. But at least those are common substances. Turn up the heat to 1201 to 1500 degrees Fahrenheit, quote, can melt iron, nickel, manganese, silicon, and potassium. When was the last time, I just out of curiosity, dumbheads, right into the show, tell me the story of the last time in your campaign when you had to know the melting point of potassium. I do want to hear this story. What the fuck happened? You get attacked by Bananarama, your hated foe, buried under a mound of potassium. And by the way, yes, I do know that if you were buried under a mound of potassium, burning your way out of it would normally be the least of your problems. But this character is immune to fire and molten slag, so ha, the joke works. Bananarama wins again. No one needs this level of detail, but we get it nonetheless, and we get lots and lots of details about all the things you can slag, about what happens to people if they're, you know, shin deep in a melted car that they were in before you melted it around them. In fact, we even get rules for reduction of physical beauty based on horrible burns if you melt someone's armor on them. It's pretty grisly stuff. Lots of stuff here about long-lasting injury. So, you know, fingers crossed, the people who are around when you use this power, they may just die during this scene, which in the long run, honestly, would be a mercy. Because as mentioned before, anybody who survives, there's a 30% chance you're going to cause them to slowly die. Especially with repeated exposure, forget about it. Bananarama is as good as fucking dead. Question, how many dollars are you going to owe Bananarama's family after he dies of radiation poisoning following several years of being your arch foe? Answer, a bunch. So that does it for all the subpowers. All that remains, and this comes on the next page because it took so long to go through all this stuff because we need to know the melting points of every substance, no matter how obscure. There are some other miscellaneous bonuses to having this power. You're immune to heat, you're immune to slag, you're immune to magic fire. You can sense radiation levels, and in exchange for that, you just suffer a minor drawback, namely that, using your powers or not, you are constantly emitting small but potentially dangerous amounts of radiation unless you use your dampening power to absorb it, or you sacrifice half of your melee attacks at all times to hold it in. So, if you are ever knocked unconscious, if you ever decide to use your superpowers, if you ever relax while you think no one is around and it turns out someone is spying on you, if you are ever mind controlled to be careless around your teammates or innocent bystanders, or if you are ever forced to use more than half of your actions to, for example, dodge gunfire or desperately stop Bananarama before he can unleash his chimp mercenaries on the city, in any of those cases where you can't sacrifice half of your melee actions at all times, you will emit deadly radiation into the environment, causing the people around you to slowly die. I guess the dumbest thing on this page is that this is a power that you can randomly roll. It causes the people around you to slowly die. There's no real way to effectively manage this significant drawback of controlling radiation. It's going to be an ever-present threat, and it's also not going to be an overly dramatic one. It's not like playing Vampire the Masquerade, where if you play your cards wrong, you might flip out and kill an NPC that you care about, or, you know, break the masquerade and have to deal with the fallout, and it's going to be a pivotal event in the plot that your tragic curse hurt people you cared about. It's going to be every now and again It's going to be a big drag. We all got to go to the hospital, maybe round up civilians and they have to go to the hospital. If things got pretty heated in a supervillain fight that was out in public, now we got to like get a bus, take everybody down to the hospital. Everybody's got to get radiation treatment, got to do a few days of downtime while everybody recovers. And then the next superhero fight, God forbid, Bananarama attacks, got to melt through some potassium. Okay, everybody back in the bus. Sorry, guys. Sorry this keeps happening. That's the dumbest thing on this page, especially given quite how graphic and grisly the consequences of this power are. You know, if you accidentally toast some of your party with 5d6 damage from a fireball, that's one thing. If you afflict people with hair loss, lung fibrosis, and a mounting cancer risk, that's a little something different. But if death by irradiation is a little too grisly for you, you're in luck. Join me tomorrow for a power that's not killing anybody on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. And if you like my tiny little podcast, consider giving me a tiny bit of money at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That is ko-fi.com/megadumb. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is To the Top by Midair Machine, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/askagain. That's ask again, two words with a space in between. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.